What?
College matters.
What?
College matters. Matters.
Really?
For sure. College matters.
Alma matters. Matters.
The first meal, I had like probably 20 really, really close friends. And the first meal we were able to eat all together after COVID in the dining hall, you know, sitting next to each other. The chairs weren't chained to spots on the ground like they were for a little bit there. And just that sense of like we'd all been through something really traumatic, for lack of a better word, the pandemic together. And we all had COVID at times and people got sick. And, you know, it was a really stressful time and scary time. And that first time where we got to sit down and we kind of looked at each other and we're like, oh, gosh, like we're back. You know what I mean? Like.
That is Tanner Zakim, Goldwater Scholar, who graduated with a bachelor's degree in mechanical engineering applied to neurosurgery from Duke University. Hello, I'm your host, Venkat Raman. In high school, snowboarding and photography were Tanner's passions. He would have loved to do that for the rest of his life. Then, towards the end of his sophomore year, his architecture teacher involved him in building an engineering program for his school. Tanner found himself hooked on engineering, the idea of building things, touching people, and making lives better. Tanner joins our podcast to share his Duke University undergraduate experience, interest in neurosurgery, undergraduate research, winning the Goldwater Scholarship, applying engineering for medicine, and his advice for high schoolers. Now, before we jump into the podcast, here are the high fives, five highlights from the podcast.
It was unbelievable. I'd recommend everybody to go to Duke. I have nothing but amazing things to say. The undergrad curriculum for engineers is amazing because in your first semester, you take a class called EGR 101, where you work on a real-world design problem. Mine was a novel tool for endonasal neurosurgery. And one of the advisors on that project ended up being one of my biggest collaborators all throughout my 4 years of college. I picked Duke because I knew I wanted to become an engineer in high school. I learned that towards the junior and senior years, but I also knew that I wanted to go to a school that didn't just have engineering. I wanted my friends to be all different types of majors. Through that first project, I really fell in love with this like idea of applying engineering to medicine. My uncle, who I spent a lot of time with out in Oregon when I was a snowboarder, unfortunately ended up passing away of cancer that metastasized to his brain. So the idea of like brain tumor research always held really strongly to me. My sister also had a small brain tumor that was incidentally found when she was in high school. So I kind of had all these things that made me interested on that project when I picked it. The Goldwater Scholarship community has a mentoring program. And I, long story short, after winning Goldwater, spending time at Neuralink, had that freak out of, oh my gosh, I want to become a doctor too and do MD, PhD. And luckily for me, that was like right at the same time that they were doing a mentorship match. And I got matched with this amazing now physician, Dennis, who was a Duke fourth year. He's now a ophthalmology resident up in Massachusetts. I think to high schoolers, my biggest thing is like, don't take everything too seriously in high school. If you're not getting the best grades, don't worry. If you're confused on something, don't stress it. Like it doesn't mean don't work hard and don't try, but it just means that like, the point of high school is to grow and prepare for college.
These were the high fives brought to you by
College Matters.
Alma Matters.
Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. For my newsletter, visit almamatters.substack.com. tannerzackham.com. Now, I'm sure you want to hear the entire podcast with Tanner. So without further ado, here is Tanner Zackham.
So if you're ready, we can jump right in.
Sounds good to me. Just to start off, It was unbelievable. I'd recommend everybody to go to Duke. I have nothing but amazing things to say. Mm-hmm. The undergrad curriculum for engineers is amazing because in your first semester, you take a class called EGR 101, where you work on a real-world design problem. Mine mm-hmm. was a novel tool for endonasal neurosurgery. And one of the advisors on that project ended up being one of my biggest collaborators all throughout my 4 years of college. Mm-hmm. And it really jumped you into deep water really quickly with mm-hmm. a really supportive environment. So I think that's a big highlight of the experience. And I'm happy to dive into anything else, but I really enjoyed getting my hands dirty really quickly.
Maybe you can start by telling us why you picked Duke. Why did you go to Duke?
Yeah, I picked Duke because I knew I wanted to become an engineer in high school. I learned that towards the junior and senior years, but I also knew that I wanted to go to a school that didn't just have engineering. I wanted my friends to be all different types of majors. I have political science friends, poli sci friends, econ friends, English friends, everything you could imagine. And mm-hmm. I loved that because it gave some variety to my days and conversations that I had. After that, I wanted a school that had really fun school spirit. I like a vibrant community, and, you know, people hate Duke a lot for our basketball team, but that made me love Duke a lot. And past that, it was a beautiful, beautiful campus. When I visited, I just fell in love. I really could see myself walking around. And I also really enjoyed that in the engineering school, there was never any grading on a curve. There was never any competitive nature between the students. It was really, mm-hmm. we're all on the same team. If mm-hmm. we all do really well, we'll all get a good grade. And that to me was really important.
Tell us about your high school. I mean, what were you like in high school? What kind of interests did you have?
Yeah, I was not a great student in high school, and I know my high school teachers, when I send this to them, will laugh. But my passion while I got into high school was snowboarding and snowboard photography. I spent my summers out in Oregon at a snowboard camp on Mount Hood, taking photos and training, and I loved that. And going into high school, that's what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I didn't really pay attention in classes. I didn't really try too hard, to be completely honest, and it wasn't until an amazing teacher, who I'll give a shout out to, Miss Yokana, who actually mm-hmm. was an architecture teacher, was starting an engineering program and kind of spoke to me and was like, why not give it a shot? Why not? It's creative. You like creative things. And that was towards the end of my sophomore year, and I absolutely fell in love. I ended up working mm-hmm. with her over the year, building out our engineering curriculum at our public high school, and I really just absolutely fell in love with the idea of building things and serving other people to make their lives, society, and everything just a little bit better.
Sounds like a great experience. Now, did you do other things outside of the classroom?
I did. My main thing outside of the classroom is I worked at a local powerlifting gym. Mm-hmm. I trained there, and it was pretty expensive, so I ended up becoming their photographer and redoing their website, kind of mm-hmm. to be able to train for free. And that's been an amazing experience in my life too, because when I joined that gym, they were really, really small, not that many clients. And I still, when I'm home, go there to this day, and they've rebranded. They're like five times as big and filled with clients. So it's been an amazing experience to get to learn how to actually run a business and see all the hard work that goes on. And, you know, I always remember as my sophomore summer in high school, I cleaned the toilets every day. I plunged the toilets, scrub down the bathroom. Like I did some dirty work, and that gave me a really good work ethic and realizing that really awesome big things, there's always some gross things that have to happen, and I'm happy to do those to get it done.
Now, you mentioned earlier when we connected that you had some challenges in elementary school and middle school.
Yeah, I really couldn't read until the fourth or fifth grade. I struggled a lot in school. I would get really frustrated. I was not at grade level really for anything. And I had amazing parents that supported me and would sit down with the Singapore math book with me, my mom, as I struggled and struggled and struggled. And I'll never forget a homework assignment where I thought you could just cross out all the zeros and numbers, regardless of where they were. So as you can imagine, I did not do pretty well on that one. But it really just took a lot of trial and error and having some amazing teachers along the way that spent the extra time. My third grade teacher, Mr. Jacobs, definitely spent the extra time with me. We had to do those like 60-second multiplication tables, and I could never get them. And he would sit with me and find ways to explain it in ways that didn't necessarily feel like school. And then, in middle school, my academic confidence was really, really low, and I always felt like I was behind and viewed myself as someone who could never do school well. I did poorly in math. I did poorly in really all the subjects that would indicate a career in engineering, to be really honest. And it was just really amazing teachers along the way that slowed down, took the extra time, and walked me through it until I kind of hit my stride. And it's that, it's really when you get that first, not that everything's grades, but in middle school it tends to be. And when you get that first good grade and you realize that, oh, if I sat down and studied like this and I did my math in different colored pens because it kept me engaged a little longer. And little things like that really built me up to where when Miss Yokana kind of gave me that hand in sophomore year of high school to say, come work on this new thing with me, I think you'd really enjoy it. I was like, wow, this sounds amazing. Something where I can judge my progress through a project and how people feel rather than just a score on the top of a paper. And so I think that was really what then turned me around. And throughout that design thinking projects, all the things I'm not good at, like memorizing and regurgitating facts, weren't as important as the things I think I'm a little bit better at, which are having conversations with people and solving interesting problems and working, a little bit longer and harder if I have to and things like that. So I think all those challenges throughout the first part of my education at elementary school, middle school, really gave me the ability to be stuck and get over a hard thing that I'm stuck on, and ended up being probably one of the most important traits I learned throughout my K-12 education.
Now, this is really interesting. So was that like a breakthrough moment in your middle school, or was it just repeated hard work? I mean, what do you think was the reason for progress? I mean, I just, did you discover something about yourself, or?
I think it was really, I learned not to necessarily like judge myself off of my classmates. And in middle school where I went, people would always brag, like, I got a 95 and I didn't even study. And that would really get to me because I felt like I studied all the time and wasn't doing great. And it was just that realization of, I'm not going to learn this stuff to necessarily get a really good grade on the test, but I'm going to learn this stuff to learn this stuff. And once I did that and realized it was okay to get stuck, that we all did this at different paces, and, to ask my classmates questions and learn to really ask about why things are happening and understanding the full kind of picture helped a lot for me. I remember in my science classes in middle schools where I kind of hit my stride first because we talked about things that made a lot of intuitive sense to me in the first lecture or class. They're definitely classes in middle school that I think I really got interested in science was my sixth grade science teacher, Miss Brown, did like a really interesting intro to relativity where she was like, you're on a plane and you're sitting next to someone, right? They're not moving, but you both are moving. And I don't know, that sat down and I sat with that in my head for a while and was like completely dumbfounded by it because I was like, we're both moving, but we're not. And when I realized that there were really interesting questions there that I could think about in English and I don't have to worry about being really good at the math yet is what made me really have a passion to then pay more attention in class and realize that, oh, that algebra thing I'm learning right now across the hall, I might not think is interesting at all, but, probably one day will help me understand something I'm talking about in here.
It's just fascinating, fascinating. Now, I'm assuming you did get better at math as you went forward, so all that worked out.
A little bit better. A little bit better.
Okay. You get excited about engineering. You've gotten into Duke. So what was that transition from high school to Duke? What was that like?
Yeah, the transition was really hard. And I want anyone listening or whoever sees this to know that. Like, it's anyone who says the transition's really easy probably isn't being honest with you. It's difficult, but it's very doable. And I overcame it by really realizing that I wanted to set a really solid foundation for myself in the classroom, kind of the opposite of what happened to me in high school. Mm-hmm. And so when I was given the four classes, I take my freshman fall, which was multivariable calculus, chemistry 101, engineering 101, and then a like computational methods course for engineering, so like coding for engineers. Mm-hmm. I was really scared, right? That's a lot to take on in one semester, but I really made it a goal to understand what was happening. And so I viewed college as having kind of some distinct sections to it. And I viewed it as like if I was an employee. So I would wake up and I'd go to work. Duke separates where the freshmen live on East Campus to where most of the classes are on West Campus. So, you know, I felt like I was getting on the bus to go to work. And I kind of really focused while I was on campus. You know, I would see my friends and grab lunch with them. But, you know, I'd go to the library. And if I was doing work for an hour, I would really do work for an hour. I wouldn't go on my phone or any of that. I'm not perfect. It happened from time to time. But then
of course,
I also knew that a really important part of college is meeting friends and having fun. And so I would make sure that, five or six after a dinner, I would be done with work. And I would go and meet people, sit in the dining hall, meet new friends, go to basketball games, do fun things to kind of set a strong foundation in all the different areas. And then really importantly, too, is I realized this was through some, design thinking I learned in high school, but always consult the experts. And who are the experts about transitioning to college, if not the teachers who teach the freshman fall courses, right? They see the most transition out of anyone.
Right.
And so I was really lucky. Some teachers, Dr. Bergen at Duke, who was the advisor of my Engineering 101 project, Dr. G, who teaches the computational methods course, they were really good to lean on when things weren't going great and I was too stressed and had so much going on, as well as when times were great, being able to talk to them and them pointing out the things that kind of connected those dots. And then I will also say it was amazing going to a school like Duke because they actually had a program. He's now actually the provost over at Emory, but he was the dean of the engineering school when I came, Dr. Bellaconda. And he had a program called Thrive, where once a week on Wednesdays around lunch, me and eight other freshmen, along with someone from the counseling and psychological services team and an engineering professor, and someone from the academic improvement office, like the people who are really good at teaching you how to study. We all sat down and we would talk and we would do things like personality tests, some cheesy stuff. But then we also had really amazing discussions around like finals week and midterms when all the students were all stressed. The mental health professionals are telling us not to be stressed. And then the teacher was there to be like, look, guys, like, I know you're stressed. I know you're going to be stressed. Of course you're stressed. But, like, let's just talk through worst case scenario. And being able to do that really allowed me to realize that, sure, I was going to trip up and fall and get bad grades. Trust me, multivariable calculus kicked me in the back pretty hard. But having that kind of support system of professors, friends, and other classmates was just really the best thing for me as I transitioned into college.
How did you find your classmates, your peers? What were they like?
They were amazing. The Duke admissions office did a great job my year. Not that they don't do it every year, but my classmates were unbelievable. And a pro of the way Duke is structured and a lot of schools is the engineering school is this small school within a much bigger community. And they really focused on at the, Pratt Education Office, which is the Pratt School of Engineering at Duke, about building a family of the first year students. And so I had a E-team mentor. I had 10 students where we were all together. And some of my best friends came from those groups. And what was really awesome is I think all the students had the mindset of like, we're all starting new, so let's all be nice to everyone and feel everyone out, which was great. There was like no competition between anyone. Everyone just kind of wanted everyone to succeed. And so, you know, we bounced around to all the classes together. I had one of my best friends, Jesse Winicor. We actually had every single class together freshman fall, like every lab section, every discussion, every course. So having her was a really good help because we were able to balance each other out. When one of us would be stressed, we'd be like, calm down, or vice versa. Or, you know, you had that friend that was good enough to be like, look, man, you have not studied like you did for the last exam, and look how you did on the last exam. Maybe you should, you know, start studying a week earlier. And you're like, you know, thank you for telling me that. I needed to hear that. And I think really just focusing on making the most of whatever your college has for you. College is really expensive, which isn't great. But what is great is that money tends to go to things and get your money's worth. That was always my view. You know, that professor gets paid to have an office hours. You're not annoying them by going. You're simply getting your money's worth by going. You know, if you're staying at a hotel and they have a free buffet, you're going to go every single time. You just have to find those buffets that you've already paid for in college and use them.
Nice way of putting that.
I know. It's a very expensive buffet.
Okay, so Tanner, let's talk about research. Looks like you jumped into it in your first year there. So tell us how you got into it and how, actually, why and how did you get interested in brain in general, the neuro stuff in general?
Yeah, so Duke does a great job with that EGR101 of dropping you right into a kind of researchy project, you know, something where you're not an expert in the field. And it's worth saying, going into Duke, I had no intention of doing research. I was really excited to become an engineer, and like, if that meant research, then do research. But I had no intention of, you know, spending my time outside of class in a lab. And through that first project, I really fell in love with this like idea of applying engineering to medicine. My uncle, who I spent a lot of time with out in Oregon when I was a snowboarder, unfortunately ended up passing away of cancer that metastasized to his brain. So the idea of like brain tumor research always held really strongly to me. My sister also had a small brain tumor that was incidentally found when she was in high school. So I kind of had all these things that made me interested on that project when I picked it. And then while I was working on that project, I really fell in love, absolutely fell in love with this idea of like medicine from an engineering perspective. And so I finished up that project. I really enjoyed it. And then I was planning on reaching out to labs in my second, towards the end of my second semester of my freshman year to work at over the summer. COVID hit during my spring break. So I, you know, went home and quarantined until September when we came back to Duke. And over that time, I'd been researching labs at the school. And this one that really popped out to me was called the Brain Tool Lab. The head, the principal investigator is Dr. Patrick Codd, who's cross-appointed in the Department of Neurosurgery and the Department of Mechanical Engineering and Material Science. And this work was like the coolest thing I've ever seen in my life. I like looked at the website and fell in love. It was, they looked at projects for automated tumor resection, automated tumor identification, automated tool tracking, neurosurgical robotics. And I saw this, and all the things I've loved were just like in this one lump together. And so in the beginning of my sophomore year, I, you know, sent out an email to the PI, Dr. Codd, a couple senior graduate students at the time, and said, I have no capabilities that will impress you. I'm an undergrad. I will work really, really hard at whatever projects you give me, and I will take a lot of pride in my work. And they bit, and I was really happy they did. My first project to them was building an autoclave to test the strength of RFID tags after they were attached to surgical instruments. And so, you know, it was a great project because it was working on something really cool, but using more basic skills that were easy for me to learn. They were kind of in that, I forget the fancy name for it, but there's the zone of like optimal learning where that challenge is just hard enough for you. And so it's interesting and rewarding, and it was definitely right there. And I took a lot of pride in my work. And I think to anyone listening, as you get involved as an undergrad in research, that's what every lab is looking for. Because if you can take pride in your work, they know you'll learn what you need to learn, and they know you'll learn it well. And then what ended up happening was the project I really loved from that lab was the tumor identification device they were working on, known as the Tumor ID.
Mm-hmm.
And a graduate student, now Dr. Matt Tucker, was finishing up his dissertation on the development of this device. And me and him got to know each other. He's now one of my best friends and mentors. And as he kind of graduated, he was like, do you want to, you know, pick up this project? And I was like, okay. And then ever since then, my research has focused on this Tumor ID device, which is a non-contact endogenous fluorescence device that uses a laser to excite the tissue. And we get to read back different metabolic signatures and use some artificial intelligence to determine whether a spot on the brain or spine or anywhere else is healthy or cancerous. And we've been, you know, doing research in the operating room now for about 2 years. And it has just been the best experience of my entire life. I found a passion, and I can, you know, dive into whatever you want to dive into from that. But that's how I got started.
What are you getting out of it? I mean, in terms of skills and characteristics and learnings.
I have gotten so much out of it. I think most importantly, the thing that's most widely applicable is just my interpersonal skills. I've learned how to communicate with a wide variety of people, from clinical research coordinators to, you know, attending physicians and surgeons to patients to residents to medical students, like you name it. Engineers, other grad students, undergrads. We have some high school interns that we love to have. And really just that ability to communicate with people from a wide variety of backgrounds has, you know, I could go into any field now and that will come over with me.
Yeah.
Past that, the analysis piece, I've grown so much as a scientist by doing this. Something that I really don't think you can ever emulate in a, like, my chem labs where I would have to do the pre-lab and the post-lab and all my analysis. Like, that gave me really good building blocks, but the learning really comes when you run an experiment on your own and you have to synthesize everything that's happened. And that skill directly transferred over to when I was an intern at Neuralink on the robot team. I was really, really succinctly able to run experiments and produce write-ups on those experiments in a very quick amount of time, which people liked because of this experience in the lab. And past that, I've selfishly learned a lot about myself. When I went into research, I thought I was going to just pursue a career in engineering. And this experience really found what I think the true love of my work life is, which is patient-facing engineering, and discovered my desire to become a physician and become an engineer at the same time and kind of have a foot in each of those worlds and bring things together to truly help patients and improve their outcomes. So selfishly, I think research has taught me the most, but definitely taught me ways to be a better person around others as well.
Now, what about just one other aspect of research that I'm always fascinated by is when things don't go your way and the learnings that come from that. How have you dealt with that?
Yeah, things don't go your way a lot in research. I have learned how to really be able to detach and take a deep breath. And, you know, things break. You know, you don't get funding, a paper gets, you know, rejected, you name it, it happens. And you really, I have just gained the ability, and I'm definitely not perfect at this by any means, but I'm getting better, of, you know, when something's not going well, you realize I can stay up all night clicking the same button, unscrewing the same thing, you know, being angry at the comment someone made, or I can, you know, take a couple deep breaths, take a walk around the lab, go grab an ice cream with a friend, whatever it may be, and just take a deep breath. Like, it's, you know, if it was someone who said something, you know, you never know. They might be having a really bad day and they didn't mean it either. If something's not working, well, it's not going to work if you try it again the same way right away. So just take a deep breath. And, you know, I think the other big thing is research is a very humbling experience.
Yeah.
You learn very quickly that you know nothing, in a good way. And so, you know, that doesn't mean anytime you get stuck, immediately ask for a lifeline. But that means if you've been confused on something for an hour, go email that expert or go walk across to the hospital where there's a med student who understands it and can explain it to you right away. And that to me has been the best, because now in all aspects of my life, I made a new recipe last night for dinner, and I couldn't figure one thing out. I call my friend who's a chef. I'm like, dude, tell me how to do it, you know? And so that goes to every aspect of your life, which has just been amazing.
So let's talk a little bit about the Goldwater Scholarship. You know, why did you even apply, and when did you apply?
Yeah, so I did not know the Goldwater Scholarship existed until my sophomore year, when Duke sent out some email about the kids a year older than me that won, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's a really cool thing. I want to apply to that. I applied for probably two main reasons. One was, obviously, the money, and the scholarship is really nice. College is expensive,
sure.
And
sure.
Anything is really great. But past that, I had seen and heard a lot about the community of Goldwater Scholars, and mm-hmm. this idea that people throughout their career, really being willing to help each other and give advice to people, because of this. And so that to me was like an auto, I should go for it. And a third add-on was, as part of the Goldwater process, you work with your schools, you know, university scholars, every school has a different name for that office, but
yeah.
The nationally competitive scholarship office. And,
yeah,
you know, they taught me how to write a personal statement and helped me with my resume and helped me do some self-reflection to realize a lot of these dots I've spoken of today and realize, oh, crap, they've all been connected, and things like that. And so that's why I applied.
What did you talk about?
Yeah, so I spoke about this tumor ID project in my research essay.
Mm-hmm.
We'd collected our first kind of sample, human tumor samples that were taken out, and then we got to scan them, and we got some pretty cool results. And so I think on that respect, my research showed enough promise to the, foundation that it would have some effect on people, that I checked that box. And then I think I was really lucky that graduating PhD student, Dr. Tucker, the lab manager, Dr. Ross, and the PI, Dr. Codd, all really trusted me as an undergrad with PhD level work. And so I think it was evident in my research essay that I myself was really functioning at a high level in the lab.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that helped a lot. And then I think selfishly, my PI probably wrote an amazing letter of recommendation, not because I'm great, but because he's one of the nicest people I've ever met, if not the nicest. And so I think his ability to just convey everything in that letter probably helped me out a lot.
So what kind of difference did getting the Goldwater Scholarship make?
Yeah, it's made a really great difference. You know, that also means, though, to anybody that applies and doesn't get it, like, you'll be perfect as well. I'd say the biggest difference it's made for me was actually the Goldwater Scholarship community has a mentoring program. Mm. And I, long story short, after winning Goldwater, spending time at Neuralink, had that freak out of, oh my gosh, I want to become a doctor too and mm-hmm. do MD, PhD. And luckily for me, that was like right at the same time that they were doing a mentorship match. Mm. And I got matched with this amazing now physician, Dennis, who was a Duke fourth year. He's now a ophthalmology resident up in Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to get on the phone with him And he was able to give me really amazing advice on this decision to become a physician and follow that path. And someone like him, he's an amazing person. If I messaged him on LinkedIn asking for a phone call, he totally would have hopped on the phone with me. But yeah, being able to get on that phone and having that, just like, you know, you both wrote that research essay, you both got the same email, I found really, really helpful. And then past that, I, you know, developed, and this would have happened whether or not I won, but I developed a really amazing relationship with my school's nationally competitive scholarships office throughout the application process. And that meant that when my senior year rolled around, because I won it at the end of my junior year, they kind of knew me, they knew my application. And so they were like, hey, you should apply to this fellowship, and you should apply to this scholarship. And they just had a really good working relationship with me, and I didn't end up winning any of the things they told me to apply to again my senior year, but I got really good at writing a personal statement, which I then used to apply to graduate school. And I would say the biggest piece of advice I have around applying to Goldswater or any scholarship or school for that matter is, it's cheesy, but like the growth mindset, and like, you're putting in this work not to win the scholarship, but to apply to the scholarship. And when you view simply applying and getting that application together, which is very difficult to do, as the thing you want to do, you've accomplished your goal regardless. And, you know, winning is the cherry on top, but that was just amazing. Because, again, for these other ones that Rhodes and Marshall that I didn't even get an interview for, when I had to turn around and apply to PhD programs the next month, writing a personal statement felt like a piece of cake. So, you know, sure, always take something from it, even if it's not a true success on paper.
How involved were you on campus outside of these activities?
Yeah, I was fairly involved, I would say, with clubs and other things. I was really focused on my research, and that was my major extracurricular. But outside of class, I was a huge Duke basketball fan. Again, I have to shout that out. Duke football, I had a, you know, friend on the football team, so we'd go to all that. But my main activities outside of that were, I'm a school and community ambassador for Movember, which is a nonprofit focused on mental health and men's health. So really spreading the word to get people to grow really ugly mustaches in the month of November and raise money. And then outside of that, I really enjoy going for runs, working out, and just the community at Duke is great, whether it's running around the East Campus Trail, going to the gyms on campus. And I love exploring. One of my friends, the chef, and I found, you know, these really amazing ice cream shops, you know, 30, 45 minutes away in the farmland of North Carolina that selfishly I will not shout out because I don't want them to get too busy, but doing just fun things like that and just being able to take a couple hours a week and forget about your work, I think is really important. My Sunday afternoons, I get the Sunday scaries really, really bad. And so I would kind of have a rule that for 2 hours on Sunday, I have to do something that's not directly work related, just so that I can kind of stay happy and healthy and all of that.
So you majored in mechanical engineering.
And yes.
Your note said applied to neurosurgery. Now, I'm assuming, you know, all the work you're talking about applied to that. Now, how did you find mechanical engineering? I mean, I'm fine in the sense, did you like it? Did you enjoy it?
Yeah. It's a conglomeration of factors. I was deciding and really torn between biomedical engineering, mechanical engineering, and then kind of the third runner was electrical engineering. And the advice I got, and this is the best advice I've ever received in college, was that for Duke Engineering, there's a flow chart for each major of all the classes you have to take with the spots for the electives. And I believe it was Dr. Gustafson at Duke. He gave me this advice. He said, print them all out. Take three highlighters. Take a yellow highlighter, a green highlighter, and a red highlighter. Highlight the classes you're really excited to take in green, the classes you're kind of indifferent on or you kind of have to take one of your green classes in yellow, and take the classes you're not looking forward to and highlight them red. and green's plus one, yellow zero, and red's minus one. Mm-hmm. Pick the major that has the most points. Yeah. And it's like so simple because, you know, you're like, oh, like I actually want to take these classes more than these classes. And you realize it doesn't really, you know, they don't print your major on your diploma, right? Like,
yeah, yeah.
I think I probably ended up taking like a ton of biomedical engineering classes and I totally could have been a BME major. But you know, I decided to do mechanical. I would also say, look at the department. I had amazing mentors already in the mechanical engineering department. Dr. Mm-hmm. Becky Simmons, she is like, she taught my EGR 121, which is like kind of the intro class to mechanical engineering. You can take as an elective your freshman year. And if you decide not to be a mechanical engineer, it counts for any other major too. So it's kind of one of those where you get to like dip your toe in the water with no, you know, you can't be wrong.
Yeah.
And she became such an amazing mentor, advisor to me. We, you know, still send messages about what books we're reading every day. And she's just amazing. And I realized that she's mechanical engineering. You know, why not, right? Like it yeah. seems pretty awesome. And then further down the line, when I was kind of still didn't have to commit yet and was debating biomedical, my lab, the brain tool lab, is, you know, the PI is appointed in the Department of Mechanical Engineering, which meant it was really easy to get like independent research credit towards my mm-hmm. degree if I was mechanical engineering. So those factors lined up and I was like, let's do it. Let's be a mechanical engineer and learn about bending beams and fluids. And that is how I landed there.
Yeah, it's also a little more general, I think, engineering-wise, it's probably a good idea too. Right? So.
Definitely. And looking back now, and I advise like younger people, not that I think I'm in any shoes to be an advisor, but I think mechanical engineering is an unbelievable major because you can specialize in anything after being a mechie. Yeah. Maybe ECE is a little far off. You'd have to spend a lot of time doing that, but
yeah.
you can do mechatronics. You can do BME. You can do materials. You have such a fundamental understanding of just Newton's second law, for lack of a better term, applied across everything that
yeah.
a lot of things become just very intuitive and taking statics, fluids. You have this amazing survey of everything to where you can dive into something. And, you know, I have mechanical engineering friends who I graduated with going into cybersecurity, robotics, you know, mechanical design, electrical sure. design, venture capital, you name it. Like, they're doing it, which is, I think, just amazing.
Okay, so, Tanner, I'd like you to put on your advisory hat, something that you were reluctant to put on a few seconds ago, and, you know, advise high schoolers, you know. Well, first of all, high school and then about going to college. I mean, what kind of things should they consider?
Yeah, my advisory hat. N equals one on the advice here. I it's only applied to myself in the past, so be careful. But I think to high schoolers, my biggest thing is, like, don't take everything too seriously in high school. If you're not getting the best grades, don't worry. If you're confused on something, don't stress it. Like, it doesn't mean don't work hard and don't try, but it just means that, like, the point of high school is to grow and prepare for college. And college is the most unbelievable 4 years of your life because a ton of stuff that's great happens and a ton of stuff that's really hard happens. And you grow into what I think I am right now, just like a baby adult. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not an adult yet, but, and it's just amazing. And I think I got hung up on some small things in high school that, you know, caused a lot of stress, anxiety, which is totally natural and normal to feel. And, but just, you know, I think if you can frame it as this is all me learning and when something bad happens to me and I'm sad, that's totally okay. And just thinking about, okay, what led here? Things like that. Have fun in high school, you know, make amazing friends. I have a couple great friends from high school that I talk to almost every day and are my rocks. And then in terms of like looking at college, applying to college is really, really stressful. It's honestly probably one of the most stressful things, if not the most stressful thing that I've done in like an academic mm-hmm. sense, because mm-hmm. applying to jobs didn't feel that stressful. Not even grad school felt that stressful. Mm-hmm. And know that it's a like to some extent, it's a random process, right? Like,
yeah.
You're going to do the best job you can making that application. And as long as you're proud of that, that's what matters, because I always laugh when I was applying. It's like, I held the door open for everybody. You should do that anyways, but like, I would not hold the door open for someone, because I was convinced in the back of my head that like someone I held the door open was going to be someone's admissions officer, and that person was going to have a smile on their face. And then when I, you know, when that they saw the application, that was a maybe. They hit yes. And that somewhere in Durham, someone held the door open for mine. And, you know, I think that just you break that up and you realize what it means. It just means be a good person. And it's a random process. So, you know, the right people sometimes don't get in, and the wrong people sometimes do get in, and it doesn't matter. What, you know, there's nothing me and you can do to fix that. And so really focus on making an application that is you. Don't make it not you, because people can usually tell, but just be yourself and you will find the right college. A lot of my friends didn't get into where they necessarily wanted to and were a little resentful the first week of school. And then by 8 days at Duke, they were like, holy crap, I'm so happy I got rejected from that other place. And fill in the blank on those schools. You know, there's probably more people than I can think of that didn't get into a Duke and went to some other amazing school and are so happy they didn't get into Duke. And I would say that's just the advice. And then even wider advice than that is, you know, life's hard and it's okay not to be okay, and talk to people, you know, be honest with yourself and your family and your friends and your teachers and whoever it is in your life you can talk to, because in the end of the day, you know, if you got a sore throat, you go see the, you know, pediatrician. If you feel really anxious or really anything, you know, go talk to someone, because they'll only make you feel better. And I think that's my biggest advice.
That's great advice. That's great advice, Tanner. By the way, you give great advice, so I would put on that hat more often.
I don't know.
Okay, so Tanner, we're going to start winding down. And before I let you go, it would be great if you could share some anecdote or vignette or memory from your undergraduate years or anything through college experience, any part of college as well. So something that you think people might enjoy listening to.
Yeah, I would say the biggest, like the fondest memory I have, and this just goes to making everyone realize to appreciate the little things, was the first meal I had like probably 20 really, really close friends. And the first meal we were able to eat all together after COVID in the dining hall, you know, sitting next to each other. The chairs weren't chained to spots on the ground like they were for a little bit there. And just that sense of like, we'd all been through something really traumatic, for lack of a better word, the pandemic together. And we all had COVID at times and people got sick, and, you know, it was a really stressful time and scary time. And that first time where we got to sit down and we kind of looked at each other and we're like, oh gosh, like we're back. You know what I mean? Like we're eating food together without masks on next to each other. And that to me was just, there was light. And then, you know, ironically, I think Omicron came like 2 weeks later and we didn't eat with each other for a while, but those little moments of light. Now I'm so thankful that that moment happened. I'm not thankful necessarily that COVID happened, but, you know, now when I get to sit down with a friend in person and share a meal, share a laugh, maybe even cry a little bit together, whatever that day's emotion may be, you're just like, dang, like this is awesome. And you know, and I think my freshman fall, you know, I sat and ate in the, you know, big dining hall every day and I never thought about it. You know what I mean? And now I think about it every time. And so I think that was amazing. And then, you know, the other memories are when research went well, when I, you know, won Goldwater. I know that's like cheesy in this, but my roommate kind of knew it was coming and knew that was the day. And I woke up, it was, you know, whatever morning, and it wasn't supposed to be released until noon. And it was released, and I screamed, you know, a couple expletives pretty loudly, and my amazing roommate David, like, busted through his door. His door got to mine, like, gave me the biggest hug. And moments like that where the hard work does pay off are amazing. But then I always have to give both sides. When I didn't get an interview to, you know, some fellowships I applied to this year, and, you know, my roommates, once again, you know, I texted them, like, no dice, and they came in with a big burger and, you know, a great dinner, gave me a hug and said, on to the next. And, you know, you sat there and are just like, dang, like, I'm so thankful for these people who have me in the highs and the lows, that, you know, what else can someone ask for? And so I think those are definitely my fondest memories.
Great. They're awesome stories, awesome memories. So Tanner, this has been a fantastic conversation, very insightful. Thanks for being so detailed and sharing your stories. I'm sure I'd like to talk to you more in the future. For right now, take
my
care
pleasure.
And be safe. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me on. I hope you have an amazing day.
You too. Take care now. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hi again. Hope you enjoyed our podcast with Tanner Zakum of Duke University. Tanner's story is one where his interests and passion evolved from a basic need to be creative. So snowboarding photography led to engineering, where he liked the idea of building things for societal good, which then encompassed medicine, where the doing good is healing people, and eventually getting more focused on neurosurgery as the application of that good. Tanner won the Goldwater Scholarship, which not only gave him the recognition, but the network and access to a mentor for his engineering and medicine pursuits. I hope you find Tanner's story inspiring and also motivate you to check out Duke University for your own undergraduate efforts. For your questions or comments on this podcast, please email podcast@almamatters.io. Thank you all so much for listening to our podcast today. Transcripts for this podcast and previous podcasts are on almamatters.io/podcasts. To stay connected with us, subscribe to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Spotify, or visit anchor.fm/almamatters to check us out. Till we meet again, take care and be safe. Thank you.
College matters.
Alma matters.